Congratulations for joining In the Trenches with Dave Lapham, brought to you by First Star Logistics, coming to you from our new studio, our new building. We're new, and we're always trying to improve. Congratulations because Zach Taylor joined us, and he was phenomenal. I mean, he talked about Joe Burrow, how he's throwing the football, what he's anticipating out of Joe Burrow as he continues to get reps and throw the football. We talked about every single draft pick, all 10 of the draft picks. We talked about college free agents in general as a group. We talked about tweaking the offense and defense and how it goes on during all, even through training camp, based on how personnel is stepping up and performing. They're going to continue to tweak. I mean, it is as good a half hour plus of football talk that I've had in a long time. Zach Taylor, you're the man. You guys are going to love it. You made a phenomenal decision to join us in the trenches with Dave Lapham, brought to you by First Star Logistics. We're coming to you from our new studios. I mean, new gigs, unbelievable studios, new building. Just amazing. We really appreciate First Star Logistics for providing that for us. We've got main man, head coach of the Cincinnati Bengals, Zach Taylor, is joining us. And we certainly do appreciate it, Coach, because I know it's starting to crank up to that busy time of year. I know you're a busy man. Thanks for giving us some of your time.
Yeah, appreciate you having me.
So, I mean, Joe Burrow earlier this week out there throwing the football. And the first thing that hit me, Coach, when I was watching him, well, he's been busted. He has put on some good muscle mass. I mean, he looks phenomenal physically. He was throwing the heck out of the football.
He's taking great care of himself. Obviously, he's always done a good job of that. And you know, it was a risk, so he was still able to do all the lower body stuff and did a great job keeping his upper body in shape and managing that as best he could. And he started to ramp up the throwing over, I don't even know how long of a time period to put on it, but I thought he looked sharp through the first 2 days.
And he's obviously worked at it. And I just remember, it's like, you know, you're working hard as a player, and then you see a guy who's made, you know, six straight Pro Bowls and, you know, is one of the best players in the NFL. And he's in there busting it hard every day. And it's like, man, am I doing enough? I better you know, ramp it up a little bit. I mean, Joe is that kind of guy. I mean, he's the leader of the pack in a lot of ways, and that's a big way, isn't it, right there?
Yeah, I think if you see, you know, what our weight room looks like during the offseason, and what I consider, I mean, February, March, it's oftentimes some of our best players are in there. You know, they're the guys that kind of year-round are keeping their routine up. And it's the younger guys that maybe make a few mistakes early on where they don't work as hard in February, March, and show up to April ready for the offseason program. And they see some of these vets that have really achieved some things in their career, and they're already in shape, ready to go. You know, they didn't waste a second. So I think there's guys like Joe that set a really good example for some of our younger players.
I asked Joe, this was one of the things that he was kind of looking forward to as he was going through his workouts and his rehab and all that sort of thing, was the first time being out there in the field with all of the receivers, running backs, you know, running route trees and combination routes and everything. Man, I know there's some, he says, I got rust and dust to knock off for sure. But I thought, this guy, for the first couple of times out, he's putting in unbelievable spots with really good velocity. I mean, he's just special.
Yeah, I think he's at a great starting point right now. And, you know, we got a couple new guys we're working in on offense and more to come. But again, I think for a starting point, we're in a really good spot. 2 days into phase two, we're just doing on-air work. And we're stressing urgency. We're stressing communication. And we know that the physical, where everybody wants to be physically, you know, that's training camp. That's where we really want to be ultimately as training camp is wrapping up and we're heading into the season. Right now is more about the relationships and the chemistry and the understanding what's required from the playbook and where to line up and how to operate. And those are the main things we're focused on right now.
And you've got, you know, some new veterans that need to, you know, get indoctrinated in into that sort of thing, both offensively and defensively. So far, so good?
Yeah, so far, so good. You know, we've got good pieces on offense with, you know, Trent Brown and Mike Gesicki and Zach Moss are a couple of the new guys that come to mind over there. And defensively, you know, some new faces, some old faces that are back in the mix, and they're getting a chance to get out there and work with the unit. So I think Geno Stone's done a nice job. Von Bell's jumped right back in the place he was when he left. And so, you know, it's been a good group over there.
You know, the thing that I was impressed with Joe as well is you know, he was thrown kind of from different platforms a little bit. He rolled his left and have to, you know, drop down and throw it a little bit. And I thought, you know what? It's pretty impressive when, you know, it's like this soon, this early into throwing for the first time. I mean, he was testing some things that looked like to be a cold day.
Yeah, I think he's always done a really good job of that, you know, just not going through the monotony of throwing routes on air where you just take a traditional drop and throw from your normal launch point. You know, he does a good job working the pocket as if there was a rush that we're facing or you know, extending plays outside the pocket. And I think that's one thing, you know, I've coached quarterbacks for a long time, been around a lot of quarterbacks, that's something that jumped out to me from day one with Joe is just his approach to on-air work and the things that he always worked on just to improve himself. And I think the things you're mentioning are some of the things that stand out for him.
You know, we've talked about this before. I think that the way you structure these type of workouts, I mean, guys are going 100%. I mean, they're busting every single rep. So cardio work, you know, I mean, it's functional football work, and it's guys are, you know, busting it every single snap. And, man, it's impressive. It's impressive to watch, you know, right out of the gate, right away, everybody is indoctrinated to what you want done and how you want it done in these kind of workouts. Man, you get a lot done in a short period of time. It's impressive.
Well, I think, you know, that's a credit to Joey Bose and his staff. You know, they had him for the last 3 weeks. Just going through, you know, lifting weights and getting back in shape and doing conditioning work and speed and agility work. You know, we're probably one of the few teams we don't really meet with our guys during the draft process. You know, we turn them all over to strength and conditioning, let them kind of get back to the groove of things that way for 3 weeks. And that way, when we get out on the grass in phase two, like we started on Monday, these guys feel pretty good, like they got their legs underneath them, and then they can go full speed. And again, we're not doing 11-on-11. It's 11-on-0, so it's just kind of short sprint work. But I feel like the guys have shown up in really good shape and approached it the right way.
So as you took a deep breath and, you know, had time to review 2023, give me your assessment. I mean, the word that continues to come up, like we talked to Lou about it, Joe Burrow today was asked about it. And just consistency, you know, I mean, there were really good moments, and then there were too many moments that weren't as consistent as the really good moments. And is that the biggest thing that when you look back on it overall, is that the biggest thing that jumps out at you as well, or is there something else?
Yeah, I mean, you know, too much of a roller coaster ride where we started slow, got built up, you know, a lull, and then win some games, then lose some games in a stretch, and then, you know, the season just kind of comes to an end, and you're 9-8, you know, you're 1-5 in the division. 9-8, you fell short of the playoffs. And you can look back at that moment at, man, if this one game had gone our way or these two games, but ultimately that means that you weren't consistent enough over the course of the season from start to finish. And, you know, we know from having good seasons in the past that's key. You got to hit it. You're not maybe going to be perfect the entirety of the season. It's a long season. And but what you got to do is you got to find a place during the season to really hit your stride and build on that. Become the best team you can be, and we just feel like we missed that opportunity last year.
You know, another thing I think that you should get a lot of credit for is I've been on teams and I've seen other teams where, you know, new guys come into the building and it's like they're not welcome with open arms. I mean, you know, it's kind of like they're on an island until, I don't know, they prove themselves about power. And you know, it's like, man, you kind of feel bad for them because they're all out there by themselves over in a corner or whatever. Man, I'm looking at the new veterans that you get in free agency and watch them interact off the field, on the field. It's unbelievable how your football team just, you know, ingratiates themselves to every newcomer. You know, it's like you're part of it right now, bro. I mean, you're in. Everybody's in. It's all in.
It's a two-way street. You know, we got good people that have been on the roster. That understand that we acquired all these guys to help us win championships. And conversely, we acquire good people as well. You know, and so they've done a good job of coming in the building early to getting to know their teammates and being around the training staff. And so when they come in for the first day of phase two, you know, they've already met the trainers, they've already met the equipment guys. And so they feel like they're adjusted a little bit, and I got to know some of their teammates. And so, you know, I appreciate that about them, of how they've acquainted themselves with the way that we operate. And so that, you know, it makes it a little easier to hit the ground running once we actually start the football stuff.
So let's talk about some of the newer guys. We talked about some of the guys offensively, veteran free agents, Trent Brown, Man Mountain Mean, 6'8", gosh, I don't know, 370, I guess, whatever the heck he is. Kosicki is a talent. Zach Moss, I mean, those three guys, you know, jump out at me offensively. And then defensively, Sheldon Rankins, Von Bell, you mentioned Geno Stone. I mean, those guys, what kind of additions? I mean, what are you looking for? And I know it's early stages, obviously, and you guys are tweaking your playbook and all that, but I mean, you have an idea of the kind of player you're looking for and how they might fit your offensive scheme. Are you pretty excited and happy with what you're seeing out of these guys?
I am. You know, all smart players. Everybody you mentioned has a really high football IQ and a really good understanding of how we operate and what it takes to be successful here. And so, you know, the pieces on defense you're talking about, you fit them right in, and they're able to understand the scheme and start to communicate from the get-go. I think Geno's done a great job just in the early part of this process of really doing that. Vaughn obviously has played the system. And then offensively, same thing. You know, it's guys that football makes sense to them. So, okay, this is the terminology we're using. I'll get acquainted with that. But the X's and O's part, I've done this. I've been in schemes similar to this. And so they understand it and are able to kind of, you know, be efficient with their first couple of reps. And so, again, that's just, I think we've acquired good people that are smart football players, and that's going to help us win.
Let's go through your 10 draft selections, Coach, in the draft. And I thought that draft was extremely solid. I mean, you know, everybody's like, there's no section. Forget sexy, man. Looking for solid football players that are going to help the football team. Don't watch a movie if you watch sexy. I mean, come on now. This is football. You know, the NFL draft, man, it's not, you know, Hollywood. But at any rate, with your first pick, Mims. Marius Mims. 6'8", 340 plus pounds. Coach, I'm looking at the offensive line down there in your workouts, and it's like, that's prime beef down there. If you're not 6'8", 350, you know, you don't belong. And they're not a bunch of stiffs. They're moving. I'm like, gosh, man, these guys, they can dip, they can move, they can sink their heads. Man, it's unbelievable. This kid, it's the new Cincinnati skyline. You get 3 6-inch tackles. Your guards are like 6'6 plus. It's like, my goodness, but Mims is a pretty darn good athlete with that size, isn't he?
Oh, he is. You know, he doesn't play like he's 345 or see when he gets here what he weighs, but you know, he carries it really well and moves really well, and so that's a first round talent, you know, and that's, so it'll be fun to get him in the building here this Thursday night and get on the field Friday morning and get him acquainted with how we do things around here.
And you know, he's got two guys of his body kind of measurements, 6'8", 350 plus pound guys that have been in the league for a while. Super Bowls, Pro Bowls, I mean, that's pretty good mentors. I mean, here, guys with that body type to show you how to do it. Hey, rough, hey, young blood, here's how your arse up, lower your hands a little bit, stagger, you know, there's all kinds of things that they can talk about with him, the length that he has, and all these guys have long arms and big, powerful, strong hands, and it's hand-to-hand combat. You can learn so much from these guys. There's no pressure on the kid to have to, you know, carry the load right away. He's in a perfect situation.
Yeah, and he's handled himself the right way, you know, during the pre-draft process, post-draft process. You know, he's been very eager. He's sat through a lot of lectures, per se, I guess, from myself and other coaches on, hey, this is the way it's going to be, and these are the guys you need to follow. And he's done a great job being proactive with all those relationships, and those guys have done a good job, you know, in the relatively small interactions they've had with him. They've done a really good job of showing him that they're going to be available and great resources for him.
And he initially is a tackle right in here, play right and left tackle. He practiced at both. He's got game tape at right tackle. But I mean, his game tape is impressive. There's not a ton of it. I mean, over four, I think it's 402 pass sets, six pressures, no sacks. I mean, come on. This guy, his ceiling, he might have the highest ceiling in the draft. Forget the position group. In the draft, this dude, it's sky's the limit, I think, from the ceiling.
Well, now for all the rookies who come in and become a pro, as fast as possible. You know, there's going to be plenty of guys that come on these teams with a lot of talent, and it's a matter of what do they do with the talent when they get here? How do they react to, you know, not having classes, not having class checkers, meal checkers, and now you got to do it on your own. And some guys adjust better than others. So again, we do our best to educate them, and we'll do everything that we have to utilize the resources to help them be efficient from day one. But that's a big unknown of it. You know, you can only know so much about these guys in the pre-draft, and then you get a chance to get them here and see how they acquaint themselves with the NFL lifestyle.
He's one of those guys that I just really likes his character. I mean, his parents are great people, 3.6 GPA. I think this dude, I think he's got all the things that you're talking about. I think he's going to be a special one. In the second round, 49th selection, you take Chris Jenkins. Unbelievable run defender. He's got powerful, violent hands. He's long. All the guys that you're going to do, they have hand-to-hand combat. You got some guys in the trenches that, no pun intended here, since one of the trenches goes, but you get guys up front that can control things with those long arms and those strong, violent hands, don't you?
I think, you know, a word that we would love to use to describe our defense is relentless. I think if anybody's saying that about us, that's a good thing. And I think that's what jumps off the tape about Chris with me is he's relentless. You know, every down, you know consistently what you're going to get from him. And so, again, another guy I'm really excited to get in Marion's room and let him continue to develop him and get around some really good pros and be a good asset for us this year.
And Tappan in Michigan, pretty impressed by Michigan. All they did was win a national championship. And they said, you know what, you're a special guy amongst a bunch of special guys. You're a captain. Pretty good stuff. So in the third round, the 80th selection, you take Jermaine Burton. And of course, you know, there's the famous video of you being excited about that selection. Coach, it was great to see your reaction. This kid has first round talent, no doubt about it. I mean, all he did was play at Georgia and Alabama and average 18 yards a catch for his career and 20 yards a catch in this last year. I mean, man, he can take the top off, he's got body control, and you got to search hard to find drops, don't you?
Search, say that again? Search hard to what?
You have to search the tape, you have to scour it to find a drop. I mean, the dude catches everything, doesn't he?
Yeah, I mean, it's exciting anytime you had a weapon, you know, that you thought was a good fit for how we operate on offense. And Jermaine was there in the third round, and so we feel like really good about adding him to the mix and the role that he can play for us. With all the other receivers and skill players that we have. And so I'm excited to get him in here and get to start working with him.
And I know a big thing with you is they have to be able to go play everywhere, you know, have the mental and physical ability to fill in anywhere. He's got that potential?
Absolutely. You know, he's shown the ability to play outside, play inside, and we're fortunate that we're built with a lot of the talent that we have to mix and match, you know, the roles guys play. And so again, he's a really good fit for how we want to operate.
I know he's got a strong working relationship with TJ Hufanzada. I remember TJ, you know, as a receiver, how he would change speeds. He would have a little wiggle. You know, a 10-yard out was never run the same way with TJ Hufanzada. He always had DBs on their heels and not on their toes. You know, he'd always have like a little bit. And watching this kid, I can see some of that route running. He can change speeds a little bit and do some of the things that TJ did. TJ's done pretty well.
Yeah, and he's played, you know, the best talent there is. He was at Georgia. He was at Alabama. Went to the playoffs with both those teams. Was at IMG. Played high school football in Atlanta. And then his sophomore year, transferred to IMG in Florida to play against the best of the best. Did that. Felt like he achieved a lot. Tried to go back to Georgia and there was transfer issues that he ran into, so he had to go to California to finish his high school career. So this guy's played against a wealth of competition. You know, Alabama, I'll loosely say, you know, probably had one of the deeper most talented DB groups this year. So he would have gone against those guys in practice every day for 2 years. So he's played against a raw competition, and he embraces that. And so I'm excited to see him get in here with our receivers and against our corners.
I mean, that's a great comment you just made, and it applies to Nunes and to Jenkins too. When you practice against your teammates, that's as good as it gets. You know, I mean, that practice tape is just valuable in evaluating and assessing your man. I mean, every day you're going against big time players. And, you know, I can remember when Tim Cromartie was playing with the Bengals, when Mike Reed was playing with the Bengals, my hardest days of the week were practice. I mean, the games were like, cool. Yeah, I look forward to this break. These guys all week long, they wear you out, man. Isn't it just unbelievable? Relentless is a great word that you used earlier. I mean, that's what these guys have been practicing like that their entire careers. I mean, iron sharp as iron, there's no doubt. And Burton can track the football. I'm excited to see this dude. So this applies to your other, the next third round pick at number 97, McKinley Jackson, a two-time captain at Texas A&M. And, you know, the last, I guess, probably body type-wise, 330-plus pounds, you know, true, like a nose guy, but can play elsewhere. And Jenkins can, too. Jenkins played a lot of things for you, a lot of spots. But this guy, you think, got 330, man. He's, you know, athletic. He's a little slippery, man. He can get small when he wants to. I like watching.
Yeah, I mean, he is 330, but he can, in a complimentary way, play smaller than that, you know, with the way that he can penetrate and the way that he can rush the passer and, you know, pursue after the play and run plays down, you know, for two-yard gains where he's on the backside or chase quarterbacks outside the pocket. So, I mean, relentless is a good word for him. I think relentless with his energy in every interaction I've had with him, him and Chris Wolf, you know, those guys are high-energy guys and really positive personalities to be around, and when you watch the tape, that shows for McKinley, and so I think it's good. And you can watch the Miami game and see him matched up against our center we drafted, and there's some good tape to watch and evaluate. And I'm excited to add McKinley because you're right, he's the body type that we needed. You know, with a 325, 330 pound guy in there that can play some nose for us.
Well, I think you made a great point too about the personalities of Jenkins and Jackson, man, the JJs. I mean, they had a smile on their face the whole time. The media is allowed to, you know, meet them a lot, but smile the whole time. Very intelligent guys, had great answers right. I'm thinking, man, fan base, and everybody's going to love these two. I mean, you guys hit home runs with those guys. All right, so then we go with the fourth selection. And you know, a lot of people I talked to before the draft were, hey, man, there's some good players to get at picks number 70 to 150 now, or, you know, 80 to 160. That's a sweet range, sweet spot in the draft. We talked about getting Jermaine Burton at 80, McKinley Jackson at 97, and 115 here, Eric Hall, tight end that was a captain at Michigan. You drafted two Michigan captains, can't go wrong here, coach, and then you finished up in Iowa. Talk about this tight end. He's a weapon, isn't he?
He's a weapon. You know, and I think he's a good all-around tight end, obviously coming off of injury, which is why we got him in the fourth round and wouldn't have to get him sooner because that was a little bit of the fears. How are people going to view him coming off his injuries? But what you see on his tape is an explosive playmaker at the tight end position. I mean, they ran some downfield isolation routes that typically you reserve for receivers. Iowa did it with their tight ends. And, you know, you can picture that play C.J. Uzomah made against the Ravens in Baltimore in 2021,
yep.
where he caught the corner post down the field and shrug off tacklers and went scored a touchdown. You got the same tape of Eric making that play. He's flexed out as a receiver running a 25-yard run back on a naked and making a play. And so there's a lot of things, you know, they'll match him up one-on-one and let him run choice routes and let him run, you know, 525 at post and some things that not every tight end you can ask him to do. Also very willing in the run game, you know, so you see this guy put his face on people, and at Iowa, that's Iowa and Michigan, you know, they make their tight ends have to block, and they got to protect, and so he's got the mentality to do all three jobs that you want tight ends to be able to do, and a lot of times you're piecing that stuff together in the tight end room with a route runner or a protector or a run blocker, and he's got the ability to you know, make progress in all three areas and help him in all three areas the tight end's responsible for, and that's a complete tight end, so. You know, got to get him healthy and get him on the field and get him up to speed with this NFL stuff. But I feel really good about the prospect we got.
Man, there's a lot of three down tight ends. I mean, you got a lot. That's a heck of a pick. I asked him during his presser after he did pick this, man, what's your reaction to potentially having Joe Burrow throwing to you in the middle of the football field? And he choked up. And he said, you know, it's surreal. I can't really even come to grips with it right now. I mean, it was so genuine. You know, I'm thinking, love this guy already.
Yeah, I mean, he's a Cincinnati guy, too. So right. I think deep down, he was always hoping that this is the scenario that would play out for him. So,
right.
There's a lot going on there.
Yeah, Fairfield guy. All right, so then with the 149th pick in the fifth round, Josh Newton, TCU, 5-year starter. He has hands on a lot of footballs, coach.
Yeah, John, he plays with a lot of energy. You know, he's one of the team leaders there at TCU. And so I think he fits really good in our defensive backfield with some flexibility to play inside, play outside. And so, you know, with a lot of those young corners that are coming in and having to compete early on as a fifth-round pick, you know, I think that's to have that flexibility helps him, you know, find spots on the 53 if he can make the team. And so, again, there's good battles to be had there.
When he tackles, he's physical. He's not grabbing the shoulder pads of the jersey and slinging. He's physical. He hits people. He wraps them up pretty good, doesn't he?
Yeah, he does. He's willing to do that, and that's one of the things. You know, you see a lot of corners on College Tape that aren't willing to do it. He is. Now, it's a whole different animal when you got some of the guys we're going to face in this division running at you. But the first step is just the willingness to be able to do it and the technique and, you know, put your face on people, and he showed a willingness to do that.
Sixth-round pick. Pick 194, go to the tight end position again. Best player on the board. I mean, Josh Newton, people around the league that I've talked to, on top of the Bengals evaluation, had Josh Newton rated a lot higher than that 149th pick. I mean, Tanner McLaughlin, the same way. I mean, this kid, like fifth round guy, and here he was at 194 in the sixth round. Best player on the board. Isn't he coach at tight end?
We felt that way, you know, and, you know, that was a pick where he's got great tape. I was surprised he was there as late as he was. I thought he'd be gone much sooner. And so you wanted to add him to the mix. And, you know, he reminds me in some ways of Hayden Hurst with the way that he makes plays with the ball in his hands. So, you know, yeah, he's got great separation ability and really good zone awareness, which I think is key for his. You know, we do see some man, but we see a lot of zone that's critical for our tight ends to understand those zones to be able to get there and make plays. But the run after the catch, you know, it's third and six and check the ball down for 4 yards. And you can think about how all those plays Hayden made for us where he'd break that first tackle and go get the first down and create a lot of energy. And I see a lot of that on Tanner's tape where he maybe catches some underneath stuff, but turns those 4-yard catches into 10-yard gains. Those are momentum boosters for your team. And so he's got really good awareness, really good separation ability, really good hands, played in a pro offense. So he's been exposed to a lot of pro concepts there in Arizona. And so I'm excited to get him in the mix.
Yeah, I'll tell you what, you got a tight end room now. You got a tight end coach. I mean, James Casey, working with all this talent. I mean, it's going to be very interesting to watch the competition in that room because, man, Coach Casey's going to bring it out all of them. It's going to be very, very exciting and fun to watch that movie.
No, he helps everybody reach their full potential. I mean, there's no disputing that. He's got 5 years of evidence now, and
yep.
Every tight end that's come in that room has hit their full potential, and he's helped them get further contracts elsewhere or here, wherever it's been. And so he does a really good job with those guys.
With the second sixth-round pick, number 214, Cedric Johnson out of Ole Miss. Runs a 4.63, 38-inch vertical jump. You talk about a high ceiling, man. He's got a little pass rush arsenal to him, too. I mean, people had him projected to go around or two higher than he did. I mean, you got a talent to work with there, too, don't you?
Yeah, I think he's a really good developmental guy to work with, you know, to get him in the mix there with some really good ends that we have. You know, we took Miles last year, obviously. He's still got Cam Sample in the room and Joseph aside, so behind our starters that we already have. And so I think it's a good mix to get him in here and continue to develop him at this level because he's got a lot of traits, like you mentioned. He's got great athleticism. And so I think that was the right pick for us there.
Man, that's pretty darn good pick at 214. So 224, you go to Ole Miss again, you go Ole Miss back-to-back. And Dejon Anthony. Long arms, pretty good press coverage guy, obviously, with those long arms. Tell us about this young man. What do you like about him?
He'll come in as a safety, you know, and he's had a long career path. And all of a sudden, I'm blanking on the first school. Shepherd is the first school that he went to, you know, and so earned his way there, accomplished a lot of great things, transferred to Liberty, did a great job at Liberty. Coach left, so he transferred his final year to Ole Miss. And so he just kept kind of elevating the competition for himself and playing at a high level in all three spots. And so, you know, you got a guy like that really was transferring for the right reasons. He was accomplishing things and then moving on. And so now he gets the chance to upgrade to the NFL. And he'll know how to adjust that lifestyle. And so I'm really interested to watch him play. You know, we obviously had a lot of upper tape. I enjoyed meeting with him when he came here on a visit. And so I'm excited to add him to the safety mix.
And then with the second seventh rounder, the last pick of the 10 at number 237, you mentioned this young man, the tape, and you were watching Miami play Texas A&M, and you were watching Matt Lee go against McKinley Jackson. And Matt Lee, man, 51 college starts at that in Miami, Florida. And he's got a good anchor. He's not the biggest guy in the world, but man, he's got an anchor on him. He's a mobile dude. I think too, when I watch him finish, he's got some nastiness to him, man. I don't know how the heck this guy was there in the seventh round. I really don't. And a lot of people on the league can't figure it out either. He played at a pretty high level.
Yeah, I think it's critical, you know, for the centers coming in here to play a lot of ball, played a lot of center in his career, had to communicate the way that those guys do, which you see on tape with him. Really good personality, which I think is key for that position. And maybe one of the dings on him was, you know, he just played center, he was center only. And so, you know, that fits a need for us, you know, in there in that room and that competition. So that works well for us. But I like his play style. I like the way he anchors, like you mentioned. He's had a lot of success there, played a lot of football, like you mentioned, played good competition. So I'm excited to get him in here and compete with some guys.
Yeah, I'll tell you, that is when you look at, you guys do such a great job of it. I mean, you sit your board and put all that time and effort into it, and you stay true to it. And when people are slacking, you know, on your board, people are like, what the heck is this guy doing here? We got to take him. This is the best player by far. I mean, he just jumps right out at you. It is amazing down the stretch when you put the bat on the ball so many times with picks like this down the stretch of the draft.
I think that's where Duke and his staff have done a great job. You know, Trey Brown, Steve Radicevich, Mike Potts, and free agency to you know, fill those holes for us in free agency to where you can go into the draft. And yeah, we have areas of need that we want to hit, and sometimes it corresponds with, all right, here's the two best players available. Well, here's the guy that fits the position of need for us. And so those guys have really done a good job in the scouting department, filling those holes for us early before the draft. And so in the draft, you can take the guys that you've done a lot of work on and have rated a little more higher than some other guys, and they fit needs for us as well.
So the final part of it is, get going on this, you know, right after the draft, the college free agency part, and that's been well done by this organization, you know, for years as well. And I know a lot of guys, nobody's really has been determined who's past physicals and all that sort of thing. So I'm not going to get into any specifics, but I mean,
thank you.
You got some prospects there, though, don't you? Coach? I mean,
we do. You know, these are guys where guys have. Over the course of their scouting, whether it's the scouts or the coaches, come across guys that we had some love for that just didn't get picked, and those guys felt like we were a good fit for them, and so we recruited them up and got them in here. And there's certainly some intriguing guys that'll be fighting for some spots. Sometimes, you know, a guy will sneak into the 53, and oftentimes guys will develop on the practice squad. And so, you know, with the way standard elevations work now, the new rule post-COVID, you know, a practice squad spot can get you up on game day much easier than it was, you know, for the last 30 years or whatever it was, because you don't have to get cut. You know, you can be elevated and they don't have to release you and expose you to waivers anymore. So those practice squad spots for some of these undrafted guys are an easy way to get some playing time in a real game. And so things are much different the last 3 years than they were the decades before that.
I know when you guys evaluate players and put them on the board and then actually take them, you have – like specific roles in mind for everybody. And, you know, they may achieve that, maybe even expand upon it. But I mean, you have roles pretty much in mind with all these guys that you selected, and potentially a college free agent as well, don't you?
I think that's the separator maybe for the guys we took compared to maybe another guy he was up against is a clear vision for how they help us or how they fit our team. And there's plenty of talented players that maybe in a certain year just don't fit us and don't fit it. You know, we already have that player that we're developing. And so there's certainly instances of that where there's really good players on the board, but they just don't currently fit our scheme or fit what we're doing. And they go play for somebody else. And so there's nothing wrong with that. There's plenty of players to choose from out there. And Duke, again, does a great job of bringing in the players that we have a true vision for.
I know this time of year, you guys have been working on, you know, tweaking things, offensively and defensively. You know, look at this package work, maybe you should expand it this and that. I'm not sure we need to stay with that any longer. And you've got it with, you know, players in mind, filling particular roles and whatever you're talking about doing, tweaking offensively, defensively. Do you draft based on those tweaks, or do the tweaks continue after you see what you've got from a personnel standpoint on the field? Yeah. We should include this, you know.
Yeah, both. You know, we've got our core things that we're going to do in all three phases during the offseason program and introduce some you know, adjustments we're going to make, some new scheme stuff that we want to focus on. But really, the scheme really evolves during training camp. You know, you get a chance to put the pads on, see guys, you know, maybe there's some things that we thought we were going to major in that we're going to pull back on or vice versa. And you get a chance to see some guys take a big step, you know, one way or the other. So now you want to integrate them a little more than maybe you initially wanted, or find ways to utilize them to their strengths a little bit more than maybe you initially visualized. So there's a long process in place before a player first game, a lot of offseason practice, a lot of training camp practice. And, you know, our goal right now in offseason is just give ourselves a chance that when we step on the field day one of training camp, guys know what to do and can play fast, compete for jobs, and get ready to help us win our first game. So that's what we utilize during the offseason program.
Coach, can't thank you enough. That was good stuff, man. There's love talking football with you. There's something for everybody there. I mean, that was big time. And thanks for carving time to dialogue with us, sir. I really appreciate it.
You got it.
Have a great day.
All right, thanks, Ed.
Appreciate it.
Dave Lapham here, and every day I am grateful for my experience to have played professional football. As a player, I realize self-motivation, leadership, and appreciating your teammates are key. At First Star Logistics, you can use those same attributes to create the life you want for you and your family. Build your future by working hard, like I did. You'll see results both on and off the field. Call First Star Logistics today and be part of our winning team.
Opportunity knocking.